I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
That's the height of luxury. If you have prescription onion glasses, you're doing well.
And the Bulldog.
I don't think I knew cilantro existed until I got married.
There it is.
Like, I swear to God.
If I had a dime for every time I heard someone say that.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Good to have the food themed open there, as it's a very food centric week, Thanksgiving week. I'll be cooking a lot tomorrow, I know, and I'll have my onion goggles on where I can't see. There's like a 70-30 ratio where I chop the onion with my glasses on, and then like 70% or so of the way through, I have to switch because my eyes are starting to burn. So then I go to the onion goggles, nice little stocking stuffer from a few years ago.
Onion goggles, really? That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Sam Monson from PFF on the Western Hotline. Sam, did you before right now know about the existence of onion goggles?
I didn't, but I'm curious. In what way do they differentiate themselves from regular goggles that you could use to chop onions?
Maybe not at all. Maybe they're a little more stylish. There's no snorkel attached or anything like that. But good point.
But they do create a seal around your eyes, yes. Like say swimming goggles would, or safety goggles you would wear if you were operating power tools or something like that.
Correct. Right. They work. My eyes don't burn from the onion when I have them on, but I just can't see. Which you have a big knife, you know, that's kind of dangerous.
It's kind of the same as having your eyes water.
It's close. That's why I split it up. That's right. Yeah. Well, Sam, the Bills.
Thanks for being on, Sam.
Yeah. The Bills just trucked here by the Colts. Should fans be worried?
Yes, a little bit. I think that was a game that I think the Bills matched up pretty badly with the Colts. So I don't think there are that many teams that are equipped to do to the Bills what the Colts were able to do to them. The biggest problem is that one of the teams that is the New England Patriots, who they have to play twice and are currently sitting above them in the division. So I think overall, like, Buffalo isn't as bad as they looked against the Colts, and they're in reasonable shape for the rest of the season. But in terms of, you know, falling to second place in the division, staring up at the Patriots, having to fend them off for the AFC East crown, that, I think, suddenly does look an awful lot more difficult than it did a few weeks ago, because the Patriots are perfectly equipped to replicate the same kind of game plan.
How much, if any, stock do you put in key personnel missing from the Bills? I mean, I know everybody's got injuries, so that's how it goes, right? But Star Lotulelei is the only really big space-eating tackle that they have on that defensive line. And Tremaine Edmonds, their starting middle linebacker, was also out. Again, it's a bit of an excuse, but we're all just sort of clinging to whatever we can on the life raft right now, Sam. So I'm just curious if there's any validity to them missing those guys being, you know, something that really contributed to them getting trucked like they did.
Yeah, it certainly didn't help. But I think the biggest factor is that the Colts might have the best run blocking offensive line in the NFL when it's healthy. You know, it's them or Cleveland. The Patriots are going to be one of those teams as well. But again, there aren't many teams that are capable of doing what the Colts were capable of doing to them. And on the flip side of that is there aren't many defenses that can withstand that kind of a beatdown. And we've seen from the Colts the last few weeks. Like, the Bills are not the only team that they've done this to. They have been opening wide running lanes for the past few weeks since that group got healthy again. Heading into the Buffalo game, they had been generating 4 yards before contact per carry over the last couple of weeks. They are just absolutely road grading right now, and the Bills were just unfortunate enough to be the next team in the buzzsaw and couldn't do anything to stop it.
You know, part of that is the game script and the fact that the Bills could not really score on Indianapolis. And there were a couple of fluky events, I would say, that contributed to that, like the kickoff return fumble.
Yeah.
And that's why not all Indianapolis games end 43-15 or whatever this game was. So what about the Bills offense at this point, Sam? And that's where, you know, I think most of us would say that's where they're going to win, if they're going to win, is on offense. And really, they don't look like last year's team right now.
No, they don't. And I think that's the other element that's a little bit concerning, is that the game plan to cause Buffalo problems, it's the same as the game plan to cause Kansas City problems that we've been sort of talking about so much. And I think it does work. We enable that Jets game to hide it a little bit, to paper over the cracks and say everything's okay again. But it's because nothing the Jets do is going to work, you know. So whatever the issues were with your offense, the Jets are a great get-right spot right now. But Buffalo, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, these quarterbacks do not like playing a patient, boring brand of football that involves them taking what the defense giving them and not going for a big play. And particularly when you're facing a team like the Colts and you know that they're winning on the ground and that you're going to give up some points, the temptation to force passes and to try and make the big play to offset that is just too much. And guys like Josh Allen and Mahomes, I don't think have been able to deal with this really concerted effort by defenses this season to take away the big play and to frustrate them into playing the game a different way. I know Mahomes has come out and publicly said that he isn't comfortable playing that kind of offense. And I don't think Josh Allen has said the same thing, but I'm pretty certain that he feels the same way. It's not really in his nature to play the game that way, but he's going to have to if this offense is going to kind of earn the right to make those big plays again.
How much of a factor in all this is a running game, Sam? Like, we've tended to sort of, you know, not worry too much about the Bills' inability or infrequency of running. I think we'd all like them to do it better when they do it, but we're fine with being a pass-heavy team. That's what they were last year, and they had a historic, for them, scoring season, and Allen was an MVP candidate, and we all know the script here. But with teams playing them that way, you'd think a running game would maybe help bring a team out of it. They don't have to. They could just let you take the yards and still try to take away your deep shots. But wouldn't a running game support maybe getting a team to come out of that too high shell thing?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, working at PFF, you're part of the analytics community. You're not supposed to like the run game, right? It's one of those things we're against as an entity. But I think there's a couple of things when teams start to play you this way on defense, they are doing it because they don't think you're capable of being that kind of boring Tom Brady, Peyton Manning guy who's going to go on a 12-play drive time after time after time and score points in excruciating increments. They don't think you're capable of doing that. And so far, they're kind of being proved right because you eventually force a pass, you make a critical mistake, and that's a problem. If one way of stopping a quarterback from doing that is to take the ball out of his hands and put it in the run game, and the way teams are playing you is inviting that anyway. Like, they are taking guys out of the box. They're flooding coverages. They're dropping everybody off the line of scrimmage. They're effectively inviting you to run anyway, and usually running is not more effective or even as effective as passing the ball. But if they're going to be inviting that and you have the added incentive of making sure you don't make mistakes and create turnovers, then I think there becomes a much bigger merit to running the ball than there normally is. And I think both Buffalo and Kansas City should lean into that a little bit more.
Well, it started out just sort of like not a time filler, Sam, but just something to do. We started this power rankings segment after week one, And it's just gotten really interesting to do this. And we do them from 16 to 1 in just the AFC. And, I mean, by 8 or so today, going from the bottom up again, it was challenging to try to figure out how to rank these teams at the top of the AFC. Not sure who should be first, not sure who should be last in that group. I mean, the very bottom of the conference is fairly easy and meaningless. How might you do it? I mean, whether that's putting the Bills in a certain slot or just looking for an opinion or two on who really is the class of the conference.
I mean, I think both conferences are fairly chaotic right now, and the AFC maybe more than all of them. Right now in PFF's power rankings, we actually have the Chiefs jump back up to the top of the rankings. The Chiefs, the Patriots, the Titans, the Bills, and the Colts are the top five teams on PFF's rankings, you know, based off sort of all the data that we know about all these teams. And that's going to change on a weekly basis. Like every time we settle on, is this team good? They drop a game. That Titans loss this week, it feels like it was coming. You know, I actually predicted that as an upset on our podcast, not because I thought it would definitely happen, but because given the run that they've been on and this incredible sort of high-intensity level of five consecutive legitimate opponents and then the Patriots in a week's time, it felt like that was the kind of game where the problems that they have had in Tennessee would be exposed, because you're not really paying attention to the Houston Texans. And I think every one of these teams is dropping a random game here or there. The only one I think that's genuinely in the ascendancy and doesn't look like it's completely built on sand is the Patriots, who took half a season, you know, or half of this season, and they hadn't really beaten anybody. They'd beaten the bad teams and they lost to the good teams. And then all of a sudden you beat the Chargers, and that's what suddenly starts the Patriots actually beating teams that you wouldn't have expected them to beat just out of the gate. And right now, New England looks like what we thought they might look like before the season, which is a powerful run game, Mac Jones steering the ship well enough, and the defense is starting to look like a real Bill Belichick defense again, you know, just playing greater than the sum of its parts and really causing offenses some issues.
Yeah, man, it's been a few weeks here on our show, Sam, that we've been talking about the Patriots, and even the close, I mean, they lost the games, but Tampa was real close, Dallas was overtime, right? So it just started to feel like, and then really once the Bills got shut down offensively by Jacksonville, I started thinking, what is Bill Belichick going to dream up for this offense? Can we talk about their defense? Like, what will they just mimic everyone else too high and make you work for it, or will it probably be more exotic than that because, you know, Bill Belichick is, well, Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll mimic it in principle. It might not look exactly the same, but Belichick has always been pretty good at that type of defense anyway. And this season, they have changed what they do on defense. You know, I think with Stephon Gilmore there the last few years, they have run effectively more man coverage than anybody else in the league. And the only teams that were rivaling them for how much man coverage they used were former Bill Belichick disciples. You know, it was Miami, it was Detroit when they had Patricia there, it was Houston. And all of a sudden, the Patriots have swung completely away from that without Gilmore. They are much more of a zone defense kind of team now. And so they're better equipped to play that kind of style where they just drop everybody back. But I think they will still use a little bit more creativity in terms of bracket covering, you know, the most key weapons. So you might see some more attention on Diggs than you would a random defense that was just playing sort of standard zone coverage shells. But I think fundamentally, yeah, that is the kind of game plan they're going to be using.
What do you think of New Orleans?
I think the Saints have a lot of talent on defense. Their offense is really, it's really creative, and it's incredible what they're doing with Trevor Siemian and no receivers. You know, Sean Payton, Mike Renner, who works at PFF, mentioned Sean Payton as one of the Coach of the Year candidates, and I get what he means. Like, what he's been able to do with Trevor Siemian, a quarterback, and almost no receivers whatsoever is pretty miraculous. They haven't had Alvin Kamara for a time as well, and yet that offense is still functional. It still gets the job done against most teams. Which is pretty remarkable. They have a decent shot of the postseason still, and they're a dangerous team for pretty much anybody.
Yeah, they have it's sort of a mystery to us, I guess, and that's on us because other people could be paying more or closer attention to the Saints, but you've talked about some of it. And also, Alvin Kamara has missed the last two games and was not at practice today or yesterday. Mark Ingram either wasn't at practice today. The game's Thursday night. So what have we got here, maybe? Simeon, Tony Jones, Deontay Harris, Traquan Smith, Troutman is hurt, Juwan Johnson. I mean, Sam, you know the league. These are some relatively obscure names.
Yeah, and those are the guys that are potentially missing. Like, think of the guys that are behind them on the depth chart. Like, the Saints really do not have much in the way of offensive playmakers. They've been down to the bare bones anyway, and yet they have still been pretty productive. And Trevor Siemian has actually played the best football of his career, which, granted, is not a tremendously high bar, but he's been playing better than I think I gave him credit for, even having in the tank so far this season.
This is a guy who once turned down a Pro Bowl invite, Bulldog, Siemian. That's a nervy thing to do. If you're Trevor Siemian, I suppose.
Right.
We've seen the Giants make a coaching change today, at least at coordinator, Jason Garrett. And I want to sort of couple them with Chicago, Sam. Maybe that's obvious why someone would want to do that. I don't know. Like, just maybe there's a coaching change coming there and different situations, but both teams that people are just mad about all the time. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Giants, there's definite reasons to want to sort of criticize the structures. They don't seem to have a great idea of how to use their best playmakers. Kadarius Toney, their first-round draft pick, they accidentally figured out how to use him earlier in the season and then seem to have forgotten again and just aren't throwing him the ball deep down the field at all. And even the passes that he does get have very much the kind of gimmick feel of, like, this is how you get the ball in the hands of a guy who you don't really know what to do with. Chicago, I think, is more complicated because I think, like, Matt Nagy has taken a lot of criticism based off how he handled the Justin Fields and Andy Dalton thing. And yet, I don't know that he's been proven wrong with what he was saying about Dalton and Fields earlier in the season. Like, a lot of what Fields has been doing on so far when he's been playing has not been good. He struggled a lot more than Dalton. He obviously has a much higher upside somewhere down the line, but I think it was reasonable to say, you know, all the way along that he just isn't ready for this yet. And it might take a little bit of time for us to get him ready. What I think the biggest criticism, a fair criticism of Nagy, is that his handling of the whole thing has just been ridiculous. And, like, even after last week, you know, Fields gets knocked from the game. Dalton comes in, has a, you know, reasonable game in his stead, almost gets him the win. Of course, the very first question at the press conference is going to be, so who is the starter going forward? And, you know, he gives this crazy answer of not committing to anybody. And it's like, you know, what are we doing here? Of course, at this point, Fields is the starter going forward. Like, he can't go back from this stage. And yet he somehow butchers the response to that and just ends up looking ridiculous because of it. So I think his biggest issue has just been consistently mangling how he presents this message to the media and to everybody and looking crazy because of it.
That is a really smart observation because he hasn't really been proven wrong, as you put it. And today there was a similar, I would say, like, in the same category, what you're talking about, when he denied the report that he'll be out after this game on Thanksgiving, and he said something to the effect of, the owners and I are in constant and good communication. We haven't talked about this. Like, well, like, two sentences together sort of contradicting each other. So I don't know. I mean, it's probably not easy to figure out what you are supposed to say in all these situations. But yeah, like, I like how you laid it out.
It might not be easy to come up with what you should say, but I think it's pretty easy to understand what you should not say. And he is almost, with remarkable consistency, been nailing the things that you should absolutely not be saying at almost every single step.
Well, maybe that's because he's focusing on what not to say, and that's all he has in his head. So when he starts talking, he's like, don't say that, don't say that. I said that! Why'd I say that? I wasn't going
to
say that.
It's happened to me. You have a story that you sort of, like, it's there's a secret source and you only can talk about some of it, so you're like, you get tied up. Oh geez, it's different, but Yeah, I can relate a little bit.
They tell you that about driving, right? You don't focus on the hazard at the side of the road because your brain automatically heads in that direction. that's what Maggie's doing.
Right on. All right, very good. Sam, happy Thanksgiving, and we look forward to our chat next week. Thank you.
You too, guys. All right. Take it easy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.